Praise the Lord. Tonight, amen. Good to be in church. Good to be at Faith Baptist. Thank the Lord for this place. And boy, I'm telling you, my heart has been stirred this weekend. Just seeing all the familiar faces and the people that have over the years have encouraged us and helped us. And then coming back to church on Sunday morning, being here, hearing the singing and all that. And I forget how big this church is. Now, listen, my church is, it holds about 100, and they say 160. We've had 152 in there. And but our service is around 60, sometimes 65. We have visitors stuff. But, you know, and it's Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. All depending on the nights, it's 30 to 40, or sometimes we'll have 60 come back if we have a good Sunday on 70. It's just crazy. But, you know, it's a small group. So you come here, it's like, whoa, I forgot how big Faith was. And the reason why is because when I was here in Faith, you knew everybody. It's not, it looks like a lot of people when you come, but you get looking around, oh, I know them. I remember that. And a lot of people we know, and a lot of relationships, and it makes it smaller. And when you have a big church, thank God for that. Don't get lost in the crowd, amen. Make some friends and make some memories, and it'll make the church smaller, amen. You know, people, I don't like big churches and stuff. Well, what they're saying is they don't want a fellowship, amen. It is more people to fellowship with, amen, amen. And I like all kinds of churches, and I thank God for our church and what the Lord has done there. I've grown a lot, and I tell the church all the time, they'll thank God that God brought me, that their pastor, and I appreciate that. But it's really, I told them, I said, I thank the Lord that, you know, he brought me there, because he brought me there to grow too. And we're growing. November, will you believe it? It'd be 5 years, November. 5 years, November. And just seeing, and we've been through some great times, and we've been through some hard times. And that's how it goes. But we're seeing God do some great things. I'll tell you a quick story. As you turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. I'm trying to figure out something here. I know the Lord wants me to preach this. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I got a family came to our church, and y'all know Brother Massa, his daughter Renee married Brian Beck, and they moved up to our church, and he's preaching for me tonight and this morning, doing a great job. Appreciate them there, and she plays the piano for the choir. We got a choir now, and helps us out with that, and it's a blessing. But they invited a family, and that family of six, and they have six kids, I mean, and they came there from a charismatic background. And every time they would come, God would touch their heart, and he touched them with something I preached. And then we talked for about 3.5 hours, and they decided not to come to our church. And he told me, I seen him one day in town, and he said, preacher, he said, sorry, I don't think Central's the place for us. And I said, brother, that's fine. You're the head at home. You figure out where God wants you. The Holy Spirit will show you. And I remember Brian calling me. He said, man, we can't let him go. And I said, Brian, you don't invite him no more. Let's just pray, let the Holy Spirit deal with them. And sure enough, about 2 or 3 weeks later, they came over to a thing we had for one of the holidays, you know, Memorial Day or something. And they said, hey, preacher, we're going to try it out for the summer. About 3 weeks into service, they said, we want to join. Amen. And what the biggest thing was is they come in from a charismatic background, and they didn't understand the tongues and all that kind of stuff. They experienced some things. And the first Sunday they came, Brother Mike didn't come to church because he works shift work at the locks up there. And his wife comes in, and I thought, oh, no. I knew I was teaching apostolic power in Sunday school, and they were there for Sunday school. And she's a stoic kind of a lady. And so she stood there, and I thought, we lost them. I mean, I didn't hold back, Brother Ken. I didn't hold back. I just, you know, I'm not the type of guy, I don't call names and stuff like that, but I'll tell truth, amen? And I told him truth, and I thought I lost him. Her husband calls me and gets a hold of me. He said, preacher, my wife wants me to get the notes for Sunday school. She says she don't believe in tongues anymore. She don't believe in apostolic powers anymore. He said, she said it was so good, she got it. She got it. And that's a blessing, amen? And a blessing. And those folks have been such a blessing to our church. I mean, real blessing. I can see him being pillars of our church in the future. He's actually going through Brother Vince Massa's Bible Institute right now, and they're growing leaps and bounds, and I'm just excited for him. And his words, his quotes were, the other church was too fluffy. So, amen. When you're growing up in a charismatic church and stuff, and you come to a Bible-believing church and say, hey, the church I was going to is too fluffy, they're a good fish, amen? They're a good fish. And so but I try to have to deal very delicate with that fish, amen, and let the Lord do the work. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for what you did in our hearts in Sunday school this morning. God, I'm still stirred about Brother Mike's teaching in Sunday school about faith and believing. God, it just helps me. I told him, well, I'll teach my people those things. And God, and then hear Miss Lisa say that her pastor last week said it, that not people don't understand between faith and believing. And he taught on it. And God, just you reminding us those things and learning those things. And God, my heart was stirred today to see that young man walk the aisle and get saved. Oh, God, what a blessing. And God, I remember, Lord, being as a young preacher, wanting to see the desire, my desire, see people get saved. God, to see it, it's a blessing. Always a blessing. And God, and folks' hearts touched. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. Help my brother Mike, and Lord, put your hand upon us. And God, use us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, the word distressed, the root word is distress. And it means to pain or to afflict with pain or anguish applied to the body and the mind. There's people that are in a lot of pain in their own mind. I'm doing a whole series right now on anxiety on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, man, if I want to write something about it because it's so true. We're dealing with an age right now that are so distressed and so anxiety-ridden. And listen, anxiety comes with fear. I'll throw this in here. Anxiety comes with fear, and the root of it is unbelief. And Brother Mike said it, you know, we don't believe God's word like we say we do. Listen, I believe this book can heal anybody. Amen. I believe it. And we're dealing with so many people where we have to have Brother Eric in the back there because people are going crazy and they're bringing guns in and shooting at churches. We have to have our cameras up. And everybody's so distressed, man. Everybody's so just stressed out and just in so much pain and agony. And a lot of it's their dumb choices. A lot of it because they don't listen. A lot of it because they don't want to know. But here, David, this is not the case for David. This is not the case for David. David here, if you know the story, David, he comes to Ziklag here. If you look at the beginning of the chapter, the Bible says Ziklag. He comes to Ziklag. And when he comes to Ziklag, he's living with the Philistines. Now, David's not in sin here. I could take you over to Psalms where the Bible says at the top of my Bible, it has the little wordings there of what the Psalm's about, and it's about David worshiping God and talking to him about following his word, Michael Shane, that he's going to follow God's word as he goes into Ziklag. God allowed him to go into Ziklag, to live amongst the Philistines. Now listen, you live amongst the Philistines, the type of the world. Hey, listen, we are not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. And so David lived in Ziklag. But David was away, and when David comes back, the Amalekites come along. And the Amalekites come in and raid their home in Ziklag. And what they do is they take their wives, they take their children, and they take them and they go and take them away. The Bible specifically says, because of the sake of time, we're going to read it, that it specifically says that they didn't get kill anybody, they just took them. They took them all. And they took all their children and took all those things. And David was greatly distressed. And David had all these people were upset. David, you brought us to Ziklag. David, you brought us to this place. And they thought about stoning David. And the Bible says that David was greatly distressed. Now, the word Ziklag, I want to tell you what it means. It means pressure mentally on someone or something to reveal what is inside. Now, I want you to listen to me. Ziklag was a place that God allowed David to go so God can put some pressure on him to see what David was all about. Now, you listen, I don't know about you, but I've been in a place in my life where I was in a Ziklag. I was living in Ziklag. It was a place where God allowed me to go. I was doing what's right. I was living for God. I'm doing the right things for God. I wasn't doing something stupid to have all this distress on me. And then the flesh kicks in, the Amalekites, and takes some things from you. Say, what do you mean? What I mean is that maybe right now you're in a place where you're stressed or distressed and there's a lot of pressure and you're saying, God, what's going on, God? I talked to a gentleman just this week out of this church and he had told me these things that were going on. I said, you're in Ziklag. You're doing right. Unless you have some other secret sin. As far as I know, you're living for God. You know what he does? He allows you to go to a place called Ziklag so he can put some pressure on you because he wants to pull something out of you. And God wants to pull stuff out of his children, and he allowed David to do that. He allowed David to go to Ziklag. What else I want you to see is this. I want you to see his two wives here. Now, I took a lot of time to try to learn the first name of the wife. I'm not good with saying stuff. Dave and his wife were laughing because of the word I just said a few minutes ago. I saw it. Don't you worry. And that's okay. I do a lot of that in teen class. But listen, this name of his wife, they're his wives, one of them was Ahinoam. Ahinoam. And Ahinoam is a Jezreelitist. And then you had Abigail. She was the Carmelitist. And I got looking at these two ladies. Now, every time you find these two ladies, their wives are always together. They're always together. Except with Abigail when he first met her. But when you see David and he talks about his wives, you always read, Brother Eugene, both of their names. Now, listen. God doesn't do these things. It's not a coinkadink, as Brother Mark would say, right? It's not a coinkadink. And so God had put that in that when the writers wrote about David and his two wives, it would always put, let me look at it again, Ahinoam and Abigail together. Now, Jezreelite, it means this, God soweth. A Carmelite, it means this. It means garden. Now listen, God has made every one of us have a garden so he could sow in. But when you get under pressure, and if you're not careful, your flesh will kick in, and you know what it'll do? It'll steal the garden that God wants to sow in. It'll steal that garden from you. And he wants to sow some things in your life. You say, what'll happen? Brother Samson, what'll happen? I'll get under some pressure, and then maybe you'll get under some pressure. You'll be upset, and you say, you know what? I'm not reading my Bible today. I'm not going to Sunday school. Hey, maybe you'll go, okay, I'm going to read my Bible today, but you're so distressed that you can't focus. Because the flesh has kicked in and stole the garden that you have that God wants to sow in. That's right. And so where these ladies come from, it's very strange. Listen, you guys been in this church long enough to realize that in the Bible, all the names mean something. But now Ahinoam, her name means this. Her name means pleasant. And Abigail's name means father's joy. Pleasant, peace. You say, what are you saying? What I'm saying is what will happen when you get under pressure, when God puts you under pressure, your flesh will come along, the Amalekites. Now listen, you need to do a study if you don't know yet. The Amalekites are a type of the flesh. they will steal your joy and your peace. Not only your garden where God will sow. You know what God wants to sow in us? Joy and peace. Amen. You know what he wants to sow in your life? Joy and peace. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to make you sad. He wants to make you discouraged. He wants to make you distressed. But God wants to sow those things in you. God wants to put his seed in deep in your heart that you'd have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. You say, well, preacher, am I not going to go through any trouble? No, I'm not saying that. Faith Baptist knows we all been through tons of trouble. Tons of trouble. But it doesn't mean that your joy has to be stolen or your peace has to be stolen. In the midst of the storm, you can have that peace. You can have that joy. But you got to watch the old flesh. Because that old flesh gets involved. Hey, listen, I grew up in church all my life. And I've seen it steal people's joy. I've seen it steal their peace. Right after a great victory. Right after a great victory. And they become distressed. The children of Israel forgot what God did for them. I like I said this morning, I was trying to encourage you about that coat. But my whole point of the message was to get in his righteousness. Amen. But that message about that coat, hey, don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let him deceive you. Will we be on the mountaintop all the time? No. But I can still have joy. I can still have that peace. Hey, you know what the flesh wants to do? Now, we talked about the devil deceiving this morning. But you know what your flesh wants to do? It wants you to wallow in your sorrow. It wants you to wallow. And we have so many people. Listen, I just got a boy, Michael Shane, out of the mental institution. Listen, he had a panic attack on me. I can't. Just thinking of something. Come on, let's go outside. Relax. It's okay. It'll pass. Stop thinking what you're thinking. His mind has gotten weak. And listen, we're seeing it now day in and day out, all over the news. Everybody's all stressed out. And listen, we got Christians. Some little thing happened in their life, and they're so distressed. And listen, they let their flesh take control. I talked about that righteousness. Listen, the more righteousness you get and filled with, the more strength it helps with your heart and mind to know that your God's in control and he's going to help you get through this thing if it's not just a verse. Hey, that sister just got to talk about cancer. That song, I asked that brother this morning. I said, do you write that song? He said, yeah, when she was going through cancer. She was in there, I forget what it was. You told me time she was going in, but you were scared. You got reading your Bible and God showed him this. That's what, he didn't finish the song. That's what he told me today. He said, I didn't finish that song because I didn't know how to finish it. And she's in there throwing up, and the doctors are working on her, and he thinks she's going to die. And he said, how'd it go, brother? You tell me so I don't get it wrong. How'd that verse go?
This sickness is not under death.
This sickness is not under death. And God gave him the rest of the words of that song he sang this morning. Trying to steal our joy. Look at verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Let me say that again. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Hey, it's our God, not somebody else's God. It's a personal God. And when everybody else is against us, when everybody else is against you, hey, just like David, I'm doing right. I'm living right, God. And my wife's got so my joy and my peace in the garden that you're trying to sow in was stolen. You know what David said? He girded up his loins And he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to encourage myself in my God." Hey, do you realize the Psalms that we read when we're down and out encourages us? He said, when on my bedside, I couldn't sleep. The tears would not stop on my couch. But boy, I remembered the God of my youth. Amen. I remember what God did for me. Hey, listen, if I can encourage you to this, when you get distressed, you get down and out to encourage yourself by yourself. Amen. It's very little, Brother Squiggy. You know what you need? You need Brother Jesse to sing you a song. Listen up to me. I need preacher to talk to preacher. I need another message. Wait a minute. Hey, David didn't have any of that. He encouraged himself in his God. Just him alone. Just him. Hey, I've been times when I've been discouraged and I'd go out back, and if it's snowing, I can't go out back. It's too cold. I'll go somewhere else in my little closet and say, God, I don't know what else to do. I need you. I need you. I need everything from you. I'm so weak. My flesh is telling me this. My mind's telling me this. Lord, please, I need you. You know what God does? He shows up in his own way. Hey, listen, I know people, they got to get their music. Listen, I'm not against it. Get music on. But I'm saying is your personal relationship with God, you should be able to go to God and encourage yourself and say, you know what, God, you've seen me through other things. And God, you've helped me. You protected me. Help my mind because it's thinking crazy. My flesh is wanting to do what it wants to do, but I don't want to. Hey, listen, I understand seven pillars and all that stuff. And if you're in here with that, you better get a hold of that book. You better bear your mind and your heart in that book. You better start obeying that book and say, God, it's just you and me. Because when mom and daddy forsake me, when the church forsakes me, when the preacher's not around, I got you, hallelujah. Amen. Encourage yourself in God, in himself. But I want to show you something, and we'll be done. I'll show you something. How did David encourage himself? Look at verse 7. Verse 7. And David said unto, help me with that word, Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son. Now Saul killed Ahimelech and all them. Abiathar got away and came to David with the ephod. Now, Abiathar means this, the father is great. His dad's name means this. Ahimelech means a brother of a king. You say, how did David encourage himself? He realized, my God is good, my God is great. And not only that, I'm a brother of a king. Do you realize you're a brother of a king? What do I got to worry about? Go ahead, Trump, say all you want. Let all the haters, Obama, whoever, it don't matter. Yeah, you're right, they're all the same. God's in control. Amen. He's in control. And I just need to remember, my father's great, and my brother's a king. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I don't have to pull some idol out. I don't have to go into some box and tell some man my sin, hallelujah. I can drop anywhere, bow my head anywhere. I can pray anywhere, talk to my God because he's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. He lives in me. He lives in you if you're saved. He lives in us. He lives in us. And then he said, bring the ephod. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. You with me? Say amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. When he brought that ephod, have you ever seen that ephod? What it does, it goes over your head, it comes down, and it comes right in front. The Bible says this with the armor. In verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with what? Truth. And having on the breastplate of what? There's that righteousness again. Hey, look. Now, Ephod, when he would talk to the Lord what he needed to do, it would speak back to him. And here's my ephod. This ephod speaks back to me. It's righteousness. You can never go wrong. Listen, I'm learning more and more that our churches that call themselves Bible believers are not Bible believers. Oh, yeah, they might have their doctrine right, but they don't know how to help people in trouble, help a family that's going through trouble. Bless God, let me show you, woman, you're going to obey me over here in Ephesians. I'm going to show you, submit yourself. Amen. Oh, they know how to do that. Well, bless God, you're going to wear this. You ain't going to listen. And we go, listen, but they don't know how to help the heart. Right. Here's David, greatly. Listen, you came to David and says, all things work together for good, David. When somebody's in distress, you're going to throw out a verse? I get sick of that stuff. I understand if somebody comes and asks you, hey, Brother Tommy, I need some help, and the Lord gives you something and you give to me. I understand that. But you see somebody distressed and you want to throw out some verse, you're a fool. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kent. They don't need that. They might just need a hug. Say, hey, I'm praying for you. Listen, this Eve, you know what it is? People like that, I don't want to chase no rabbit. People like that, they think they just have all the answers and that they're going to be the one to get the praise for giving you the right verse. This is my ephod. You know what it told David? It said, go recover all. He said, pursue it. Go after joy. Go after peace. Go after that garden. So I can keep on sowing that joy and peace in your life. Amen. He said, hey, you'll recover it all. You would think, well, bless God, they took my wives and I'm going to go and I'm gonna go after those wives. They're my wives. No, David said, you know what? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord and I'm going to ask him, what do I need to do next? Amen. You know, there's tons of people haven't done the next thing. They're sitting at home tonight watching TV because God had put them in Ziklag where they had some pressure. He wanted to pull something out of them, and they got mad at God. They got mad at the church. They got mad at the preacher. And all they had to do was encourage himself in their God and then go and say, Father, what do I need to do next? You know what God told him? He said, I want you to pursue that joy. Yeah. I want you to pursue that peace. Amen. Now, I told you, David, every time they talk about David's two wives there, you'll always find them together. Yeah. But you know what else you'll find together? Joy and peace. Yeah. Look it up. Yeah. Every time you start looking for peace, you'll find joy. If you start looking for joy, you'll find peace. There's a few times they're separate. But Brother Gilbert, they're together. But why would David do that? Why would David do that? David did it because of love. Now listen to me. David did that because of love. He loved his two wives. He loved his children. You know why people don't pursue, Brother Ryan, joy or peace? Because they lost their love. You've lost your love for that joy. You've lost your love for that peace. Boy, I don't know. David, he loved it so much, he said, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you know what the Bible starts out with in Galatians chapter is it chapter 5 or chapter 6? Chapter 5 with the fruit of the Spirit. It's what? Love, joy, peace. You know what we have today? We have a bunch of Christians that have lost their love for the joy of the Father and the peace of the Father. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because there's so much strife in our churches. I wonder if everybody get their hearts right in here, what God would do for Smyrna. What God would do for this church. You know what I've seen? Listen, I've been around here and I told y'all, y'all make me really comfortable so I could talk to you because I got to go back to New York anyways. But I see strife in here. Sometimes I can feel there's no peace. I can feel there's no joy. People complaining about this and complaining about that. You know what you lost? You lost your love. You've lost your love from the Father. Your love for the Lord. You know, we don't have to be some mean jerks. My kids are not allowed or not allowed to talk nasty to each other. They get in trouble if they do. The Bible says the sweetness of lips causes you to learn. I didn't quote that right. Causes people to learn. Hey, listen, all this letting your kids yell at your home back and forth each other and say nasty things, it's against God's word. Amen. 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 And then you come to church because they see mom and daddy doing it in the car on the way home because they got a problem. And you cannot encourage yourself in the Lord because you don't see the Lord. Why? You've lost your love for that joy and that peace. You know what I love when I come home? Joy and peace. Amen. Daddy, you know what I like? It's when Isabel and Israel doing dishes and mom and daddy doing other things and then all of a sudden I hear them singing about their father. Not me, but their heavenly Father. And they're down there trying to harmonize. I love it when Gracie, and she comes on, and she said, Juju, I love you so much. You know what else I love? I love going to churches and hearing testimonies. Somebody standing up saying, I was going through a rough time, and so-and-so over there sent me a text and told me they loved me. Boy, it just gave me so much joy. You know what we've lost in our churches? We've lost that peace. And that joy to serve God together because we've lost our love. Go to Romans chapter 8 and I'll be done. Romans chapter 8. You with me? Say amen. Amen. My dad used to tell me all the time, you're too hard on Josh. Yeah, but he needs it. You're too hard on Josh. And I was. I wasn't straight with him. I was just mean with him. And I remember the day me and him got right. There was things right when God dealt with my heart. And I told Josh that I loved him. And I said, I'm sorry. And he forgave me. You know, when we talk now, there's peace and joy. We'll joke with each other. We'll tease with each other. There's none of this animosity against each other. Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of fighting? Aren't you tired of you and your wife going for a good week and then yelling at each other? Aren't you tired of just trying to avoid that person in church or even their kids? We've lost our desire to pursue love for the joy and the peace that the Father sows in our garden. Aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of seeing stuff in the church that goes on and going home and being mad and telling your wife and kids all the stuff and showing them all the scripture how it's wrong? Because you're so stressed out because they don't do it like you do it. Aren't you sick of that? coming to church, and I don't know how it's going to be, and I gotta do this. What happened when you just started searching and said, God, I want to love them? I can't stand that person. What about loving them? Listen, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I don't trust anybody with my kids. I'm not saying to be stupid. But what I'm saying is that you got to show the love of Christ. And we've lost the love of Christ, and we lost that desire and that love to pursue the joy and the peace, because the flesh has taken in and stolen it from us. And we're happy there. And listen, it's Ziklag where God allowed us to go, and he put some pressure on you because he wants to pull something out of you. What is it? The love of Christ. So the world can say, you know what? That church down there, there is something about those people. I told our church, when people step in those doors, I want them to feel the power of God. Amen. Last Easter Sunday, I had a lady from Mexico walk in that lives up there, and she stopped. I was preaching, and she come in late, and she stopped, and I remember her looking around, and she's a saved, backslidden pastor's kid. She got her heart right that day, and she hasn't left our church, Brother Ken. You know what her testimony is? Every time, she said, when I stepped in the church, I had to stop because I haven't felt the presence of God like that in years. Yeah. In years. Amen. And she'll come there. Listen, I've seen her get on the altar and wail. Man, it just stirs my heart. She's up there wailing, oh God. She wants to live back, live for God and live for God. Yeah. We've gotten so used to being the critic. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 36, I'll be done. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, look at the next word, what's the next word? David was going through some tribulation when Saul was going after him. Listen. David is the Old Testament. And David didn't have Christ like we do. And the Bible says, what can separate us from that? Listen, I want to pursue it all my life. Amen. That joy and peace to my best ability. I understand the Bible says, live peaceably with all men. I want to try to live as peaceably with all men. But we've lost this thing about, well, Bible believers and all this. We can't live peaceably. You know what that is? It's pride. And there's people in here sitting, listen, you're not the only ones. You're sitting there in just your misery and distress. God put you in Ziklag. And all God wanted to do was pull something out of you. You know what he wanted to pull? He wanted to pull the love of the Father out of you. Amen. That's what he did with David. What about it tonight? Amen. What about it tonight? As a piano player comes, why don't you stand? The altar's open.